And welcome back to another edition of the B-Squared Podcast. And we are glad to have you along as we record on Tuesday, September 6th. And as always, the Cubs are still really, really good at baseball. He's Brian Beto. I'm Jordan Bernfield. And Beto, the Cubs, as we do every week, I try to keep you updated and informed about the standings because I don't know if you're like me, but I just stare at the standings page basically for an hour every day because it's so enjoyable. Yeah, the Cubs are 89-48. They are 16.5 games ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals. They are the only team in baseball playing 600 ball, and they are managing to play 650 baseball. They've won 7 of their last 10, including a win yesterday against the Milwaukee Brewers, in which Kyle Hendricks did Kyle Hendricks things, which means throw at least 6 or 7 innings and give up 3 runs or fewer, which he has now done in 19 consecutive starts. So, Beto, the Cubs are getting close to clinching as we record today. The magic number is a 10, and it keeps going down because they're getting great pitching every single day. But Kyle Hendricks, I mean, this guy, it's funny because Miguel Montero, Hendricks, Madden, they all said that Kyle didn't really have his best stuff yesterday, and I know that he was facing the Brewers, who stink, but when this guy has gotten so good that he can now give up 1 run in 6 innings on a day where he doesn't look his best, it shows you how good a pitcher he really has become.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of it is because of that demeanor and just not getting all frazzled when things don't go his way, or something, a bloop single falls in, or he doesn't get a borderline strike 3 call. He's just very even keel. That's just his personality. He's extremely smart, as we've talked about. We've called ourselves the Hendrix hipsters on this very podcast. And
we are. I want T-shirts.
You're right. Yeah, the Brewer, he didn't have his best stuff just watching the game yesterday. And you could tell. He missed a couple spots. He maybe didn't have the bite on some of his pitches that he typically has. And, yeah, it was the Brewers. But I know the Brewers aren't good, but it's not like their lineup's an all-time travesty with – they're not the Padres or something like that. I mean, the reason why the Brewers are so bad is because their starting pitching's terrible. They got some good hitters in there with Ryan Braun, and Carter's got a lot of pop. He homered yesterday. Jonathan Villar's been maybe the most underrated offensive player in the National League throughout the course of the season. I know Hernan Perez wasn't in there yesterday, but the Brewers got some guys in there that can hit, and Hendricks still went out, didn't have his best stuff, and delivered 6 innings of 1-run baseball, and due to the offense coming through in the top half of the 7th and the way baseball logistics works, was able to get the win and just continued to keep on trucking the way he has for the last several months.
Yeah, he was great. And then Sunday, Brian Beto, and maybe we buried the lead by not leading with this, but you took your daughter, who is 5 months old, to her first Cubs game, which is, in my view, a momentous occasion for any fan, let alone one as diehard and as rabid as you. And this is like a great life moment. You and your wife got to take little Gracie to the game. And right now she is a 1 WAR in 1 career game, which is incredible because the Cubs won. And I am now compelled to mention on this podcast that Jason Hayward had 3 hits and 3 RBI, including the game winner, when multiple Beatos were present at Wrigley Field. So, for the sake of our listeners who are all Cub fans, and for the sake of the Chicago Cubs who you love dearly, I think you're going to have to shell out for playoff tickets for every single game to ensure that Jason Hayward comes through in playoff games, because I noticed a distinct correlation between Beto's present and Hayward performance.
That is very causal. Us showing up was clearly the cause of Jason Hayward having his most memorable game as a Chicago Cub up to date. And you look at what he did, and even though, yeah, some of those balls had eyes and a couple of bloopers found their way in, bottom line is that he put on some decent swings on those pitches. And we could harp to death how he hasn't had a good year, but he's run into some tough luck as well. So it was nice to see some of that even out in this ball game. But it certainly was. It was a hashtag proud dad moment. To bring Gracie to the game and her first game. And obviously she's not going to remember any of that, but I had my parents there and my sister and my brother-in-law and their 3 kids as well. So there are a lot of Beatos in section 218, pretty much encompassing that entire row. And it was a lot of fun. We did stay for the entire game. believe it or not, we got to like the 12th inning and we had to go down to that like family section area so Gracie can replenish her milk supply and and get changed a little bit. But we made it back up to our seats the pitch before, hey, or the right before the pitch of the game winner. So I'll take credit for that as well. Not only take credit for the Jason Hayward performance, but also that he happened to do it on that very pitch and got the walk-off single. But it was certainly a fun, memorable day regardless of the outcome of the game, but it just made it that much more cool, the fact that they won in a walk-off fashion in the 13th in a game they trailed heading into the ninth inning.
Right. It was great, and congrats again to Gracie on her one WAR, which is really outstanding. But, you know, I mean, I am so happy for Jason Hayward. Like you said, he's had a horrible year. There's no way of sugarcoating his offensive performance. We know he's a great defender. He's had a great year defensively. Ironically, he makes the error in that game on Sunday, which...
Yeah, it was like, that was the joke when he did that, and I'm like, great. I'm like, Hayward hasn't been good all year, but the one thing we can talk about is how he catches every ball, and then right away, he makes the error. And we were kind of joking, like, great, we were blaming ourselves for Hayward's struggles in the field, but then we can, you know, justify it later by saying we're the cause of his at-bats.
Right. I mean, it's unbelievable. The guy makes the error, and he's as good a defender as there is in the game. He is obviously an excellent base runner. We know that he's a good clubhouse guy. We've said all these things ad nauseum. We all know all these things. He's had a horrible year offensively. There's no denying it. But I do think that he's a good guy, and I am happy for him that he was able to come through with the big hit to win the game, and that he was able to come through three times. And even if the hits were weak contact, he still got hits. And for anyone to deserve a little luck, I would say that Jason Hayward deserves it. So now, and listen, the Cubs are... Then the magic number is 10 as we speak today, and given the fact that the Cubs are playing a Brewers team that's pretty bad, you would think that they're at least going to win one of the next two. The point being, they'll go to Houston with a chance, if the Cardinals were to slide this week, to clinch by Sunday. In all likelihood, they're probably going to clinch in St. Louis next week. So we're going to be looking at about 2.5 weeks in which the Cubs will be division champions and still trying to, A, play good baseball, B, rest guys, C, stay motivated, and D, you know, not lose that quote-unquote mojo going into the playoffs. Last year, they won 8 straight games going into October, and it carried them through that Cardinals series. The big question now is, how does Joe Maddon manage this whole thing so that everybody is still clicking when they get to the playoffs, because it looks like they're going to have a long time to wait already as division champs.
Man, what a great problem to have.
Right,
huh?
It's hashtag Cubs problems, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you look at when they potentially clinch, you mentioned in St. Louis, which would be a lot of fun. But if the Cardinals play good ball the rest of the way and force the Cubs to have some win some games, it could extend to that long homestand, starting with the Brewers on the 15th, but regardless if it's in St. Louis or back at home in Chicago or something crazy happens and they're able to do it in Houston, there's going to be a long time between clinching the division and when their first postseason game takes place. If I'm not mistaken, the wild card game is like October 6th or something, which would put game one of the division series roughly October 8th. So you're talking about maybe 3.5-4 weeks of insignificant games as far as not mattering in the standings and in actual playoff baseball. So you want to stay motivated. First things first, you got to stay healthy. This team's good enough, in my opinion, where you don't have to feel like you got to be the hottest team on September 29th and carry that momentum into the playoffs like they did a year ago. If you recall, the Royals had a horrendous stretch in September last year when they had the division all but sewn up, and things turned out pretty okay for them the rest of the season and in through the World Series. So I know you want to be playing your best ball, but it isn't always indicative how you're playing at the end of the season that you're going to play that way, good or bad, heading into October. The most important thing, as you said, is Joe Maddon sort of tweaking things to make sure these guys are fresh, they're healthy, they're at top of their games, because the Cubs didn't have a lot of time to rest at the end of the season last year, and it might have been evident in the way some of the starting pitching sort of tailed off when we got into those got into that Met series, and even times against the Cardinals with Hamill and Hendricks.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. And, I mean, listen, the game one of the NLDS, according to the schedule here, is October 7th, which is the first day. Right. And, I mean, game two would be the 8th. And then they would travel to, you know, whatever city that is for game three and game four. But you're right. I mean, listen, there have been plenty of teams that have gone into the playoffs hot and lost momentum and lost. There have been plenty of teams that have played really, really awfully and then gone into the playoffs and gotten hot and won. And
the '05 White Sox.
Right. I was just going to mention them. That's exactly what I was going to mention. Remember, they nearly blew, what was it, like a 13-game lead in the division?
Just absurd lead against Cleveland.
Yeah, and it comes down to basically the last weekend of the year, and then the White Sox lose one game in the playoffs and win the World Series. So the point is, you never know, and there's going to be a lot of blather about, you know, how they're playing and what's going on and all this stuff going in. The truth of the matter is, baseball over the course of 162 games is such a big sample size that you can build a team that you can reasonably project to win 90 plus games and make the playoffs every year. But in the playoffs, it's too short a sample size to know. I mean, listen, the Cubs are the best team. It's abundantly clear that they are the best team given what we've seen this season. I mean, they are so far ahead of every other team by record. And they're 9 games ahead of Washington for the second-best record in the National League. They're 7 games ahead of the Rangers for the second-best record in the American League. That's what separates the Cubs from the rest of the league. But, I mean, who knows, right? You never know. You never know. The Cubs could come into the playoffs, and let's say, I'm just guessing here, let's say John Lester pitches game one and gets bombed. Well, he hasn't gotten bombed since that start in Pittsburgh before the All-Star break. But it's possible that he gets bombed, right? And so then they lose. And let's say Kyle Hendricks, who's been masterful at Wrigley Field, gives up 5 runs and they lose. I mean, things happen. You never know. Would that be horrible? Of course it would be. But that's just how the sport works. And they don't give you 162 playoff games because that would really kill everyone's vibe. You have a 5-game series and 2 7-game series. So you hope that you're the team that outperforms the opponent. I just know that the Cubs going into a postseason series are going to be the best equipped team to win.
Yeah, undoubtedly so. And you hit it right on the head there, is that they're the best team in baseball. I don't really think you can even almost argue that. Not only are they 7 games ahead of the Rangers and 9 games ahead of the Nationals, they're beating the crap out of teams. I'm not taking anything away from Texas. They've had a great season. They've had a season almost full of aberration with all these one-run wins and things like that, things that typically aren't sustainable over a long period of time or multiple years. The Cubs have pretty much bludgeoned teams. I know they've played a lot more close games lately. But that being said, there's a lot more randomness and in a smaller sample size and variance during that time that even so, even a team as dominant as the Cubs have been this year makes you only a favorite to win the World Series, but you're not more likely than not to win the World Series. You're still looking at a long shot at about, they say the best team wins about 18 to 20% of the time. Right. I think right now the Cubs odds are like 21 or 22. There's just a lot that can happen. And you mentioned that Lester or Hendricks can get bombed. Well, look at it the other way. Let's say you run into a Giants team or a Dodgers team where Kershaw goes all Kershaw, just throws 9 shutout one game, and just like that, you're behind the 8-ball, and 2 other starters step up and dominate and have ace stuff, and just like that, you're out. I mean, this team is a lot better than the 2008 team that won 97 games, which is crazy to say because that was obviously a really good team too. They played 162 games with the best team in the National League from start to finish, and we're done in 3 days, 4 days if you count the off day. And it's just I don't see it's likely, but it's definitely possible. So that's why you got to stack the chips in your favor the rest of the season. Just keep people healthy. Don't necessarily worry about getting hot or staying hot at the end of September. Just get healthy, baby. That's all you got to stay. Right now, I'm worried about making sure Rondon is healthy, Strope is healthy, and that we get the Jake Arrieta that we've seen the majority of August and his first start in September when October rolls around.
Yeah, no doubt. I completely agree with you. FYI, according to Nate Silver's 538 projections, the Cubs, just to continue your point, have a 25% chance to win the World Series, which,
that's
by
nuts.
The way, is far and away the best. But it's still 1 out of 4. So
right,
it's
right.
Still not a good chance. It's just a better chance than anybody else. The next best team is the Blue Jays. They have an 11% chance, and so do the Dodgers. So, you know, we're talking about, even though the Cubs are dominating and they are projected to win 104 games and this has been a magical year, you know, there's nothing – There's no guarantees on this. But the other thing I wanted to say, and then I wanted to get to a couple of other topics, Beto, and we started to talk about this a little bit last week. There are a lot of Cub fans, and we are doing it right now, projecting what's going to happen in the postseason and thinking about October. And I hear a lot of people saying, well, let's get to the games that really matter and all this stuff. But I think that it would be a disservice to all fans of this team in particular if you didn't just enjoy what's happening every day, because I can't think of a time in my life where they were this good, like legitimately this good. And the injuries that they've suffered have basically made no difference. And Kyle Schwarber has missed the whole year, and they're 41 games over 500 as we record this podcast. Hector Rondon has been out for 3 weeks, didn't matter. Pedro Strop has been out for 3 weeks, didn't matter. Pedro Strop is hurt more and will be out a little longer. Doesn't matter. The Cubs have had bad performance offensively from Jason Hayward. They lost Montero to the DL. They lost Lackey to the DL. None of these things have made any difference in terms of what kind of team they are. So you have to just enjoy what you're seeing every day. I mean, I thoroughly enjoy turning on the television every night knowing that the Cubs are probably going to win. And I've never really had... Even the team that won 97 games in 2008, and I don't know if you were like me in this way, but I kept feeling like, how are they this good when Ryan Dempster is their best starting pitcher? And it's like, it's no disrespect to Ryan Dempster, and I had a lot of fun watching that team, but I was like, how are they this good with this pitching staff? Like, how? But with this Cubs team in particular, there's nothing not to like. I mean, maybe you say Kyle Hendricks is better than he should be. I don't know, but maybe you think that. But John Lester is pitching like the pitcher that they paid for. Jake Arrieta is not as good as the pitcher he was last year, which is pretty much impossible for him to have continued that. But he's still an excellent pitcher who is sustainably good. The same thing is true of John Lackey. I mean, the way that this team is winning and the way that they're built is way more believable to me than the way that the 2008 team was built. So I'm just enjoying the hell out of them winning every single day.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's less surprises outside of Kyle Hendricks on this team. I think what makes it cool is that this team was built so great, and why this team is built so great is because they're not getting these just contributions from guys. Yeah, on a night in and night out basis, you could use the old cliche, it's someone different, that sort of thing. But my point is that it's not like they're catching lightning in a bottle like some of those guys in 2008. You mentioned the Dempster thing, and Mark DeRosa just had an unbelievable year, and Jim Edmonds, it felt like he was, you know, halfway into retirement, comes on board and has a great second half to the season.
I'm still conflicted about that, by the way.
Oh, I cannot even have an opinion on it because I don't know what it would be. But this team... You mentioned Lester. He's pretty much performing to the expectation level, in my opinion, that what they paid for. John Lackey, was he as good this year as he was last year? Not entirely, but they knew that. They knew he wasn't going to be as absurd as he was a year ago, and he's performing to the level that he's being paid at. We knew Jake Arrieta would have at least a slight regression because what he did last year, we might not see again from a Cubs pitcher during our lifetimes. And the list goes on. And offensively, we got a big jump from Rizzo and Bryant and the natural progression there. And the Wilson Contreras may be another exception where we weren't sure if we were going to get a 2016 contribution from him. He's been unbelievable. We expected somewhat of a jump from Addison Russell. We thought we'd get more out of left field and Schwarber. Jason Hayward's been a disappointment offensively. But it's just been so fun that this team was – predicted to be so good at the outset, and they've carried that through, and it's not like you could say, oh, they're just getting lucky and catching lightning in a bottle like some of these other teams have that we've rooted for in the past, and they just continue to win every night, and that's why you have to enjoy it. That RBI two-run single by Addison Russell against the Giants last week made no difference in the standings. It's not going to change the outcome of the season whatsoever. Doesn't make it not fun. Same thing with Jason Hayward's walk-off winner on Sunday. It's just you got to enjoy the ride, like you said. It's been so much fun to watch, even though these games don't necessarily mean a lot. At the end of the day, I don't know if we're ever going to be able to enjoy another team like this again, so you got to take advantage of it while you can.
By the way, when Addison Russell got that hit last week to drive home two runs, I was doing a dance in my living room. And the same thing was true when Jason Hayward got that hit on Sunday. I was dancing around the room. I mean, it's just so joyful to watch this team. And the other thing was, I knew Russell was going to get that hit. Didn't you?
For sure.
You knew he was going to get that hit. That kid just has that it factor that he's just comfortable in big situations. He wants the spotlight. I know that these are all tired sports cliches, but when you watch him, it's like you feel like he wants to be at the plate. He wants that situation, and he believes he's going to get the hits, and he has come through a lot this season. It's really been remarkable to watch. And so now, Brian Beto, the Cubs are so far ahead in the National League Central that it's kind of boring to look at the standings, even though I do admit at least 30 minutes a day I kind of stare at the standings page on MLB.com. But now I'm looking at the wild card standings a lot, because that's who the Cubs are going to end up facing in a first round playoff game. And it is a little bit of a disadvantage to the Cubs in that they're not going to know who they're facing until 2 days before their first game, which, I mean, they're going to know it's one of two teams, but the other series, those guys are going to know who they're facing. So I think it's a little bit interesting that it is that way. But you have the Giants right now a half game ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals. The Mets, are one game back of the Cardinals for the second wild card spot. And then, you know, there's a little bit of space. The Pirates are 4.5 back. I think the Pirates, they're under 500 now. I just don't think this is their year. They've lost 7 in a row, and you've got the Gerrit Cole situation. I know he's coming back next week, but he's not healthy, and Miami's under 500, and the Rockies are somehow 6.5 out, but I don't think they have any shots. So we're really looking at the Giants, Cardinals, and Mets. Of those teams, who do you want, or do you even think that way?
A standpoint of actually breaking it down, I really don't think about it that much. I think they're just thankful to be in the position that they're in. Like, I'm sure you're thinking the same thing. But from just a strictly a fan, I'd like to see this happen sort of narrative, I would like to see the Mets, because I would like for a chance at a little bit of revenge after last year, because I think we're clearly the better team. I understand the Mets have really good starting pitching and can get hot because they have guys with great stuff, but I don't think they're the team they were a year ago. They're not healthy. Their offense isn't very good, and I think it would just be a lot of fun to have a chance to knock them out of the playoffs the way we knocked the Cardinals out last year.
Boy, I see what you're saying, but the Mets give me like a nervous tick. And there was that four-game series in New York that was the worst I felt the entire season.
Yeah, that sucked.
That completely and totally sucked. So I get what you're saying, and if you told me that the Cubs were definitely going to win that series, okay, great. But I don't know that my heart could take that. The other problem is I don't know that my heart could take another series against the Cardinals in the playoffs.
That's what I mean.
Because
there's no good option.
Because I'll say this to you, Brian. I mean, you and I just got done talking about how it's very difficult to win in the playoffs, and that the Cubs only have, I mean, even though they have the best chance, they still, nobody has a good chance, because that's how baseball is. If they lost to the Cardinals in the playoffs after the season that we have had, that is a dagger in my heart.
That's why I don't want them to play them.
I know, but the Mets too. I mean, I think that you have to
go. Keith Hernandez ain't walking through that door. You'll be all right.
Listen, if Keith Hernandez was walking through that door, I'd feel a lot better about it.
Spit a loogie at him.
Yeah, but I'll say this: if it was the San Francisco Giants, I mean, Mad Bum terrifies me. But I think that once, if you beat him once, you win the series. And even if you don't beat him, you might beat their other starters in a row. I mean, I think Johnny Cueto is good, but he can be had. Jeffrey Samardzija, I think, sure, can definitely be had. And the back end of the rotation's been injured. I mean, I thought that Suarez was pretty impressive for them on Friday, but I don't know who pitches. I mean, I don't know if Peavy's going to be healthy. I haven't really been monitoring that situation. But
he stinks.
Right, he stinks, right. So I'd be fine with that. Or Matt Cain. I mean, you know, any of those guys. So my point is, like, I feel like those matchups are easier, even though everyone's going to say, well, it's an even year and it's Bruce Bochy. And listen, the Giants deserve insane amounts of credit for what they've done over the last 6 years. And, you know, Bruce Bochy's going to the Hall of Fame, and so will Buster Posey one day, and the Giants have an amazing thing going. But this Giants team is not a great team. It's just not. And I feel like they would beat the Giants easily.
I agree. I think so, too. It's just, they've been so bad in the second half of the year. They've lost so many one-run games.
They've been terrible. They're like a 345 winning percentage.
Don't you think that's got to even out, though, at some point? That's what scares me. And they do have a scary front of the rotation. And, you know, Bumgarner, they're going to stretch him out to pitch any game imaginable. And here's to say, I mean, they could still catch the Dodgers, too. So we don't even know if they're going to be in the wild card game, but it's looking more and more like the Dodgers are going to win the NL West. Still, though, they do have some experience. You're right. Their bullpen isn't as good as it was in the 3 years that they won it. Casilla, who blew the save on Sunday, hasn't been the guy he was last year or the year before. Sergio Romo is still solid, but nothing spectacular.
Didn't he get hurt? Isn't he out like 10 weeks for the Cowboys?
Sergio Romo, yeah. Yes. Yeah, for like the 17th time, he broke a clavicle.
Yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott is starting in place
of
Sergio Romo.
Yeah, he's the new
Sergio
setup man for the Giants now. Correct, yeah. Correct. But he's... I don't know. Like, they don't scare me there. Just that front of the rotation. And the thing that they do well is similar to what the Cubs do well offensively. They lack the pop. Don't get me wrong. They lack the slugging that the Cubs have. However, they do grind out at bats. They can get deep into a pitcher's pitch count early enough in the ball game.
And they can run.
Or spill your bullpen earlier. So that's what kind of scares me cosmetically about the Giants in addition to their starting staff. But again, we could talk about things that scare us for any team, because these are playoff caliber teams. They're there for a reason, and they're really good. The Cardinals bats can get hot in a hurry. We've talked about their home run streak of, what, 24 consecutive games. Jed Jerko is Babe Ruth, apparently.
How is this guy that good? I'm sorry.
Because you know why.
Yeah, because he's a Cardinal. No, but what's the – I mean, he's going to hit 30 homers this year.
And it's all going to be in a span of like 3 months.
It's
the guy – he has 16 home runs in the last like 6 weeks or something like that. This is like Sosa in June of 98. Less steroids, but – but
well,
still,
I don't know.
Don't start, because Jed Jerko, he did have a little pop. He had some down years. He got the big deal. Had some down years. It was a perfect trade for St. Louis. As soon as they made this trade, I'm like, this guy's gonna come back to being the guy that everyone thought he was gonna be a few years back. But they can hit a lot of home runs. And if the Cubs, remember how many home runs the Cubs bats hit in the division series last year? Well, you know, the Cardinals are capable of hitting for power and prolific power just like that. And then you have the Mets that got the great starting pitching, but their offense doesn't really scare you. So, there's ways to nitpick at all the three teams if those ultimately end up being the three teams that the Cubs will have almost a round robin to play in a best of five series. I just, again, it's a total fandom, like zero analysis going into it, other than I would like to beat the Mets, and I can't even fathom playing the Cardinals and potentially losing it after winning 103-104 games.
Yeah, I mean, I hear everything you're saying, but if they lose to the Mets 2 years in a row, I would just Let's not even think that way. Let's
Let's not be Cub fans. Total idiot, typical Cub fans.
And let's just think about how the Cubs are already preordained to go to the World Series and win, and that these teams are just in our way, right?
Right, exactly. And we're just being realistic, though. Yeah, we're not saying that we think that it's going to happen and they're going to lose.
No, it's just that you're playing good teams. Like you said, you're playing good teams. These are teams with good players that can challenge you. The one thing I would say about the Cardinals, I think that a lot of the advantage the Cubs would have is negated because the Cubs and Cardinals know each other, and I don't think that the Cardinals give a damn about how many games the Cubs are going to end up winning, just as I don't think the Cubs cared about how many games the Cardinals won last year, even though it turned out that the Cubs only finished three games behind them. But the point is, the Cardinals, to me, and their pitching is not Cardinal good. It is not. And they do have a +79 run differential, but they've, even though their starting pitching is better in a relative sense to a lot of teams in the game, and they have prevented a lot more runs than most teams in the National League, I mean, this is a Cardinals staff that has been mostly guys with ERAs hovering above four or around four. I mean, Adam Wainwright has not had a great year. I mean, none of these guys, none of them really have. I mean, Carlos Martinez is by far their best starter this year.
He's the best.
And, I mean, does Mike Leake scare you in a playoff game? No. Does Jaime Garcia scare you? No. I mean, does Lance Weaver, or Luke Weaver, rather? No. I mean, so these are, you know, these are solid pitchers that could be had. The one thing that I would say, too, is that, you know, you look at the Cardinals' bullpen has been, and they've had a bunch of guys hurt. They've had a bunch of guys out of the lineup, and so you wonder how healthy they're going to be when they get through the season. And the other thing is they hit a lot of home runs. I mean, this Cardinal team is on pace to shatter last year's mark for home runs. I mean, I think by like 80 or something. So that's the kind of thing where, like, you make one mistake, like Jake Arrieta walks a couple of guys, and then boom, three-run homer, and then where are you at then? So I think that that's what makes the Cardinals a difficult team. But that said, definitely, I mean, if I'm going to face the Cardinals in the playoffs, I'd rather do it this year than most years.
Definitely, yeah. It's a different Cardinals team. We've seen the Cardinals team that you're scared of their starting rotation depth, and that's clearly not the case this year. If anything, it's the opposite. You're more scared of the power bats and Brandon Moss, who they got for Rob Kaminsky, who's not a bag of baseballs, but certainly a trade that the Cardinals are pretty happy that they made. Randall Grichuk, starting in his, I guess, third stint at the big league level this year, has really started to come around and be closer to the player that we saw last year than he was at the beginning of this season. And then we talked about Jed Jerko, and Matt Carpenter's back and healthy and swinging the bat well.
You mean Cecil Jerko?
It's Cecil Jerko.
Become Cecil Fielder? It's like he's hitting the home runs that he's hitting are not just home runs; they're like massive bombs.
I'll just never understand. Well, I understand he's a Cardinal. That's why. It just still seems to defy logic. Like, good for him. They seem to found him. He's been terrific. And even with Diaz out, they really haven't lost much because they put Jerko in the lineup and he's just raking every day. And Yadier Molina's even had a good year offensively. So they're like the other potential two teams. They're not the same team as those two teams, but they certainly present a comparable amount of danger to anyone being a postseason team. So it is kind of fun because I know JD and Len talked about this on the broadcast the other day, is that they're talking about the Cubs being a spoiler, and we're used to the Cubs being a spoiler, but not in the sense that they are this year. This year, they're actually just sitting back and trying to spoil teams' postseason opportunities while they sit there and wait to see who they're going to play in the postseason. In the past, we've seen them just try to, you know, beat the Cardinals to knock them back or whatnot, but it's been fun to watch them just kind of being able to sit back and enjoy. And as a baseball fan, between this race and the one they have in the AL East and the second AL wildcard spot, it's fun to just sit back and not have a horse in the race and see how these things unfold, because they have a few races in baseball that are going to go down to the wire.
Yeah, no doubt. And it was, you know, it's been great. It's unique to be this good and this powerful and this dominant, and it's been a great year. And, I mean, what else can you say? It's been fantastic, and let's hope that they get 11 wins after October 3rd. Okay, so we're running out of time on our podcast, Beto. I have two questions left for you.
Yes.
The first is, this is not going to be an issue now because the Cubs and Astros are going to play Sunday night as opposed to Sunday during the day. So if you want to watch the Bears-Texans game uninterrupted, you can as a Chicago fan. If it were Sunday and the two games were at the same time, which is what it was supposed to be, what would you have chosen?
It's funny. I was legit. This is how much of a freak I am. I was literally in the shower today. I mowed the lawn, took a shower. In the shower, I was thinking about this exact same scenario because that's
this is why we are good together, isn't it?
That's because that's normal.
Yeah.
So I thought about that and I'm like, wait, the Cubs play Sunday night, so I don't even have to worry about it. However, I think I'm going to say that I would be watching the majority the Bears game just because of how insignificant in theory this Cubs game is on Sunday. I remember thinking this scenario last year and it kind of sucked because even though I knew the Bears weren't supposed to be very good, they only play 16 times a year and it's still fun to have the NFL on TV during that time. But the Cubs were in a race and these games are important. So I'm actually thanking the Cubs for being so far out ahead of everyone that it allows me to enjoy my NFL Sundays for the next 3-4 weeks.
Right. I mean, to me, the Cubs game Sunday is meaningless. If it were meaningful, I would choose the Cubs game.
For sure.
If they had a chance to clinch or if – which they're probably not. I mean, technically, if the Cubs went out this week and the Cardinals lose out this week, which I doubt would happen, the Cubs could clinch Sunday night. But let's be honest, that's not going to happen. So – I believe that if the Cubs were going to clinch, 100% I'm watching the Cub game. But if it were – or if, like, the Cubs were a wild card team and they were two out and they needed the game, 100% I'm watching the Cubs game. But now, like you said, it's perfect because I can watch the Bears lose. I can then not feel so bad about it because then we can watch the Cubs play the Astros, like, a couple hours later. So we can just rinse that one away and watch the Cubs game instead. So I would choose the Cubs game over the first Bears game any day of the week if it has any meaning to the Cubs. But fortunately, we can – or maybe unfortunately, depending on what goes on Sunday, we can watch both. So there's that. All right, so Beto,
yeah, you don't want to miss the debut of new Bears guard Josh Sinton either. So
that's true. And Connor Barth.
And Connor Barth.
I'm just waiting for everyone to start making the Connor Barth jokes when he misses his first field goal. I'm really looking forward to that.
I tried to – so I had a couple buddies that were realistic about the Robbie Gould getting cut because it was just probably just time. It's run its course, that sort of thing. They save a bunch of money, allowed them to help sign a Pro Bowl guard. And this is turning into a Bears podcast, by the way, if you haven't noticed. But they
what are your feelings on Kyle Long's return to the offensive line?
But I was trying to think of a player that was comparable. So one of my buddies was just irrational about it, and he knew he was being irrational, that he
was
upset.
Hold on. You're saying a friend of yours was irrational about the Bears or the Cubs? I'm really shocked by this.
Yeah. a nice twist and turn of events there. It was like an M. Night Shyamalan movie that we're watching right now. But at the same time, though, I was trying to think of, like, all right, I'm like, were you mad? Is this like when you were mad that the Cubs got rid of Ryan Terrio? Is this a fair comp to Robbie Gould? And I'm like, wait, no, it's not, because Robbie Gould was good for a significant period of time. He's the Bears' best kicker ever. And I'm like, I was trying to think of a Cubs, the person that would people like casual fans would get irrationally angry over if the Cubs were to lose them, even though it was probably in the best interest of the team. And Ryan Terrio was the person that I came up with. I think Mark DeRosa would be a good one too.
Because Beto, you
he
remember
clearly was a good player. It was just they got good value on a trade for him in return. But people were really upset about that one.
Don't you remember when DeRosa was traded, all the calls we used to get when we worked at WGN?
Oh, my God.
The
furious.
Insanity. I mean, for 3 years after that trade, people were calling in to complain about that. Like, I remember when Theo and Jed took over the first year doing post-game shows, people were calling in to complain about Mark DeRosa. And I was like, that was 3 years ago. Like, get over it. I liked him too, but my God, you're still calling a postgame show over Mark DeRosa.
And it ended up being a great trade for the Cubs on top of it. I know they ended up not they did it for like, oh, we need to get more left-handed so we can start Mike Fontenot at second base. That was kind of the justification. But they ended up getting good players behind him. People were freaking out about that. I think that's a fair Robbie Gould to Mark DeRosa comp.
Yes,
I think that's the closest we can get.
Yes, agreed. But I do love where your head's at to think Ryan Terrio, because that just makes me laugh at how people were so insane about that.
Terrio, I think Kirk Heinrich would be the Bulls comparison for that.
Yes. Okay, so then now let me ask you this, Brian Beto, as we end our podcast. Will the Cubs sweep the Brewers and the Astros to complete the week undefeated, as you always predict?
What do you think?
Yes.
I was one game off last week.
You were.
One game off that Friday afternoon. Was it Friday afternoon? Saturday afternoon.
Saturday, games. Yeah, the Bumgarner Arrieta game. Yeah.
That's crap. I've been right twice this year then, right? One time when they went 7-0 against the Pirates and the Nationals, and then the other time I was right, but we didn't actually record a podcast.
Right, when they won 11 in a row, yeah.
Because you were in Africa, so I just sat with headphones by myself and predicted that they were going undefeated for the week. So I'm about to be right for the third time this year, because we're going to sweep the Brewers. Hamill is going to be good again tonight like he was last time out. We're going to get the win tomorrow with Montgomery. He's going to have a bounce-back start. And then we haven't beaten up on the Astros in a while due to their switch to the American League, so we got to make up for some lost time. We go into Houston, win three straight, and our magic number is down to a measly couple heading into St. Louis early next week.
Indeed. So I am hoping that you are right. I am predicting the Astros are desperate for wins right now. Like, they have to win because
they're two back of the second wild card.
Yeah, so they have to win. So I have a feeling that they're going to come up with a couple victories this weekend. But I think the Cubs are going to sweep the Brewers. I think that they might win two out of three with the Astros, but I could see them losing that series, frankly, just because I think Houston is that desperate that, you know, it's just a different mentality. You know, the Cubs don't have to win these games.
Yeah,
Houston's
going to do everything they can to win those games. They're going to overexert their bullpen, their starter, whatever they need to do.
I mean, listen, the Cubs are going to have the pitching going because you're going to have, what, Lester, Arrieta, and Hendricks this weekend, I think. So,
Lackey.
Right. So
either way, that's great. That's a great rotation. That's three games here.
All right, fine. So I'm going to say Cubs two out of three. The hell with the Astros. And,
yes, Cubs, I got you to switch a game.
Yeah, so the Cubs are going to end up winning both series, and then they're going to clinch in St. Louis, and we're going to cry tears of joy.
I love it.
All right, well, Beto, always fun, my friend. And how do we find the Facebook page?
You can search for the B Squared Show on Facebook. We have great SEO with our Facebook search results. It's the top B Squared Show listed on Facebook. So you can find it there. We'll post the link to this week's podcast and the rest of them for the remainder of this season.
Very good. And you can also follow us on Twitter. He is at Brian Beto. I'm at Jordan Bernfield, which makes sense because those are our names. We will talk to you again next week when the Cubs have probably come close at that point to winning the National League Central, and then after they clinch, we'll have a little party and enjoy as we get ready for the postseason run. For Brian, I'm Jordan. We'll talk to you next week. This is the B Squared Podcast.